So we're going to talk about just a Gundam in review. I figure that'd be good. Special for them. Just talking about the year 2012 and what they talked about, maybe topics or whatever. And if time, we'll bring up other stuff that happened in 2012. Mainly not the apocalypse, right?
Black history that was supposed to happen but didn't.
So we'll go around the room and say our Mecha Talk names if you got them. I am Nathan Britt, also known as Nasty Nate. Why don't you go next? Robert, go ahead.
I am Robert, also known as Arbiter Gundam, number one, Macross fanboy, Macross world correspondent, etc., etc., etc. And, yeah.
All right, Edwin.
My name's Edwin. I build model kits and collect figures.
All right, Dylan. General Rebel.
I'm Dylan, also known as Xenosynth from MAHQ, and I'm the annoying new guy. Hello.
And apparently, apparently an unknown guy on my friends list from a PlayStation Network. I didn't even know who you were.
That was like months ago I added you.
It was, indeed.
Way back.
I get some random ones. I don't know who they are. All right, Varnus.
All right, I'm Varnus. I'm that weird creeper guy who just came around late 2012 and just spewed up some Sega crap about.
Oh yeah.
But nah, that's all in the past now. All right.
Well, it's going to be in the past that we're talking about, as in 2012.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Dalo, now this.
Go ahead, Dalo.
Well, everybody knows who I am. I'm not going to really introduce myself other than the fact that I am Dalo on the Mechatop forums, and that's all you need to know about me.
Done.
Okay.
Like, the eternal captain.
Did we get Torino? Did we got Torino in?
Torino, you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's your name?
I'm Torino de Guzman. Black Comet 1224 on Mechatop. I had to redo my account and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, and last but not least, Sovereign.
I'm Sovereign, a.k.a. Mobius Diablo on Mechatop and self-proclaimed Pedal Bear E.
Pedal Bear
And E. also Bubble Dweller.
Wait, which Pedal Bear is he?
Yes, he said he was Pedal Bear East, and I know there's currently right now, there's like a fight going on Mechatalk for Pedal Bear West at this point.
That's disturbing. Okay. Well, no real method of doing this since it's like, you know, just kind of talking about moments and whatnot. So I guess we could kind of start things off. I'll kind of name something, and then we'll kind of go around, and as we forget stuff and I want to bring it up or whatever, we'll just kind of go the flow here. But I'll start us off with a good memory of 2012. It was right at the beginning. It was Gundam was right there with us when Bandai fell.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you don't mind.
Episode 93, the end of Bandai.
Yes.
At Weldon. No. Robert, well, stop. They don't deserve that.
Hey,
no. Well, Bandai Entertainment might deserve it, but Bandai Japan probably doesn't.
I personally think it's an unwarranted thing, if only because of the fact, like, I think if only at the end of the day, we're losing out on a lot of DVDs and Blu-rays.
Yeah.
I was recently checking up on Amazon just to check out the Blu-rays for that band I did, just the last Blu-rays that they actually did. And I could say that when I – Haruhi Suzumiya, the Blu-ray, that was only $25. Actually, it was $20 when I got my two copies before I gave one away. And now it is $50 on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Currently right now the 00 movie was – it was 25, then went to 26, and now it's 37 USA.
Wow! So,
and yesterday I could have I saw it at 47 too.
Okay.
And
Garth's counterattack is now like almost $100.
That was out of print before. That was out of print before all this happened. So
all right. So Bandai.
That's all.
Bandai fell. Gundam was there to kick us, to kick the sand in the wound while we were down. They were saying, "Yeah, it's your fault." And it was good times. It was good conversation. It was cool, Bandai, it's been carrying on. So,
yeah. Anime is over.
So, Robert, why don't you get us a next moment or something?
Well, we would then go straight into the next episode back there in January, episode 94, the Chobits Conundrum, where a particular favorite segment of mine there was when they did the what would happen if the Macross Songstresses switch places with pilots.
That was one of my favorite moments as well. That's actually hilarious.
Did you submit that, Robert?
I did not.
I didn't notice.
I don't remember who submitted that. Let me see. Let me check the blog here. It doesn't say.
Okay, good moment.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious.
I actually can't remember.
No,
I have to back
did to hate on Ranka.
Edwin.
Okay, what about...
Why does Neo hate Ranka? Is that what you said?
He really did hate on Ranka. I mean, you could hate him, but that was pretty big.
Well, she's like kind of like cannon fodder for hate, really, because there's really not much there.
Yeah.
So
right.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Raptor that had submitted the topic.
Raptor, yeah, that's okay. Right. That's right. And actually, yeah, I did have to kind of disagree with Neo a little bit about that, because, well, I don't know if either Ranka or Cheryl could ever become that good of a pilot.
All right. Cheryl flew topic for another topic, Jack. Well.
Yeah.
So, Edwin, another Gundam moment or thing that you remember from 2012?
Well, I don't have many, but I remember I listened to the episode where they were reviewing Crossbone, and since I just recently, well, not recently, more like a couple of months ago, finished reading the manga, I can kind of see where they're coming from. I mean, it's like fluff. I mean, it's like, you know, like those Lay's chips. I mean, they're good filler food, but not exactly, you know, something to sustain you. It's just...
Yeah, that was a very informative episode. I liked having Amuro in T1. He was a guest on that episode. It was good. He kind of gave some knowledge college on us. And
it was good to hear an old guest host come back, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Whenever there's no Code Geass going on.
Right. But
well, it was just good to hear him come back at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good topic, good moments there. Dylan, I know you said you're kind of a new follower, new listener or something, or you got any kind of... moments particularly you kind of remember?
Yeah, I technically only listened to one episode so far, and that was not a 2012 one, so...
why don't you talk about that first episode that you heard?
Go ahead.
I actually was listening to it just before this call. It was the Kyle Hebert interview.
Yeah,
that was an excellent one. There was some loser guest host on there, Dalo. I don't know about him.
Yeah. I don't know who that guy was. He was probably my least favorite of them all. But besides that, it was pretty good. I was very surprised that they could get an interview with someone like you know, someone that high up in the voice actor rung. So yeah, I mean,
that's a long time. Definitely, it was really good.
We got some pretty decent voice actor interviews pretty late in the year.
Yeah, definitely. What's up with all that? Who knows?
Yeah. Also, I was kidding, Dalo, I love you.
Oh my.
I don't think they're gonna change that intro for a long time. I mean, they have got the ultimate intro now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
In a world where podcasting is key.
Yeah.
You're listening to Gundam.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's MHT. you can't beat that. The Dragon Ball Z guy.
I guess when that happened.
That was one of the main reasons why I kind of went for him.
Yeah.
Just as just for that. But
Dalo, while you're here, I'm sure all of us are kind of interested to know how do you just reach out to them on Twitter or do you say, hey, we have this many listeners, do you want to join us, or how do you do all that?
Oh, it's already on the forums, man. I told you guys multiple times. I ask very nicely and don't be like trolls. I sacrifice babies too, but those help. Those are the side dishes.
I mean, how do you get their contact information?
Simple research, and basically that's just about it. There's really, honestly, it's not easy because you really have to know these people and actually sometimes you actually have to contact multiple people. I'm not going to say how I do it, if only because it's really, really, really difficult to do. And I'll be very honest, that's one of the main reasons why I also didn't do a special, because that's generally what I do on Gundam now, is setting up some of those interviews and stuff that I don't even talk about on the forums.
Well,
that's not even related to
be
that.
Sure to get Steve Blum. We want him. Johnny Young Bosch.
whatever your request is, you give me, I'm not going to listen to them.
Oh my!
I say that because of the fact, one, I don't do requests on Casey Kasem, and two is simply because of the fact if I take requests from somebody, I'm going to get a flood of requests from everybody. So
yeah, that's
I will say this: keep an eye on Anime News Network. Generally, one of the things I decide to do is I look at Anime News Network and see what comes up hot in the news, and I decide what might be a good thing to do.
Okay. Well, talking about that real quick, I think I'll go ahead and steal whoever's next and kind of just bring up another one real quick. The last episode of 2012 was the interview with Karen Strassman, I think it's what her name is.
Karen Strassman, yes.
Yeah, and before that, I never watched Code Geass, and I enjoyed her conversation so much that I actually watched Code Geass and enjoyed it. So I thought that was a great interview.
Yeah.
Well, just to bridge on that one, since that actually is one of my I have about a list of 10 things right here, and we've already gone through one of them. That was number 9 on my list, which is the fact with that Karen Strassman interview. Yeah. It's the fact that when we did that interview, and again, this is the only one I mentioned that I'm actually on, is that it was a kind of a realization, just because she was exceedingly nice. As she quoted, I am the more meaningful, warm and fuzzy type of person.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So Varnus, yeah. Go ahead and give us something that kind of stands out to you in 2012.
Yeah. This is going a little bit way back, because this was a bit of an important thing that happened with the whole fallout with Mevio.
Episode 95.
That is number 3 on my list.
What is that? Yeah. Fallout of Mevio? What?
The
Mevio fallout when podcasting basically changed for everyone. Podcasting has changed.
Oh, yeah. Is that with the SOPA?
No.
How can you forget one of the greatest readings that Chris has ever done? Dear Chris.
Oh yeah.
Greatest of all straight talks.
Oh yeah, I love that.
I will say it's the most amusing, but probably not the best.
Probably the most dramatic reading Chris had ever done on a post.
Was Neo's explosion, was that in 2012?
Yes, the press all three moments with Chris. Yeah, that was 2012.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I will state that all these events have me excited to watch previous episodes or listen to previous episodes of Gundam.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting when Mario did that, because we were kind of on the eve of Gundam's 100th episode.
Yes.
Also known as probably one of the most trolling episodes of all time.
That's
okay, we have to go back and listen to episode 100.
Dalo, anything stand out to you? What's on your list?
Well, again, I have we've already gone through three of them, so that's
I'm up here scratching them off too as we go along. So
yeah, so well, anybody who brings them up, it saves me time because anyway, but. Regardless of that, episode 96, which is in the question segment, the Prog Noob submitted the Kira apocalypse question, where he actually posed the question of Gundam, where they have to save the day, but not using a Gundam or a main character suit. Essentially, they had to go in with a grunt suit.
I remember that. Was that a topic or just a
no? It was in the question segment. It was in the questions episode. It was actually probably the last question, but it was from the Prog Noob, and he basically submitted that question. I liked it because it required everybody to think a little bit outside of the box. Plus, it was a topic that we, for the most part, I don't think Kara would ever do, but in some twisted way, maybe he could, as in sacking your town and raping your wife and killing your children.
Yeah. I think in general the Gundam mailbag has been a good swing this year. We've had a lot of good questions come up. Anybody in here has any of your questions been answered that you were grateful for and kind of stood out to you in recent memory?
That you ask us that, I can't remember anything. Thanks.
I remember sending one question, but it wasn't. I'll kind of confess that it was actually to kind of rile them up a bit.
Yeah.
Because in one of the questions, I asked them about a certain general. And yeah. it wasn't so much my opinion. It was just so much I wanted to get a reaction out of them. But, and I'll just say I pretty much got the heat I was looking for.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. I had a question that, I originally asked it like a couple of years back, and they just kind of breezed over it, and I was like, you better answer this, and I asked it again kind of in a different way, and they answered it fully, so I was pleased. But good mailbags this year, good stuff. It's hard to think back to actual moments and actual questions, but you know, overall good stuff. Way to go, guys. Okay.
Well, that's what I do when I have to do the specials. Like these fiends, I actually have time codes written down.
Yeah. So, Sovereign, what about you? What's on your list?
Well, mine is also my first one that you guys haven't covered is also from episode 96, a.k.a. Neo being a RoboPhobe in the Time of Ease segment. That rant was hilarious.
Yeah, I had that on my list, too. You said the robot tomes?
Yeah,
when he actually came out full out against the robots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's been a pretty funny recurring thing with the robot tomes. And now that we're here, what is the tomes? What does that actually mean?
Well, they're obviously Terminator 2. They exist in digital format. As Neo's version, I think they're actually carved on stone, so that way if he loses power, he could just look at the stone tablet.
Okay, that explains it, because I don't think I've actually seen Terminator 2, so that probably explains it. Okay.
Oh, you should. It's a great movie on many really different levels.
I remember trying to watch those, and it scared me too bad, so I didn't watch them. So.
Well, if you're an adult, yeah. I'm pretty sure you can go through it. But then again, they're written on tomes. They consist of what it takes to defeat them. So then I'm assuming when the apocalypse actually hits, if you ever seen Neo, he's going to be decked out with the tomes, i.e. like Ten Commandments style.
He's going to become Moses.
He will emerge from behind a rock, stare upon the human subjects, and pull out the tome, and they will follow them, and a new civilization shall begin.
Yes,
it'll be the new John Connor.
It'd be that alternate history that was at the end of Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
And Sovereign, I think that thumbnail for that one is like Hatsune Miku, right?
Yeah.
So
she is always listening.
She is always listening.
She's even in Super Robot Wars.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Don't mention that mistake, please.
And Sega is trying to cash in on the deal by creating their own Hatsune Miku lookalike army now.
Don't forget it's not technically Miku. It's just it happens to be skinned that way, as they tend to put it.
Which is why I said their look.
Oh yeah.
All right, Torino, what's on your list?
What?
Christopher. Okay. Well,
Torino. What? I'm sorry. What?
Go ahead, Edwin. While Torino's taking care of business.
Oh, okay. This All is right. one I saw.
I'm back.
Okay.
Not too. Oh,
okay. Be quiet, everyone. Torino's back. Torino, what's on your list?
Well, oh, dang it, I lost. Okay, I like the one where all the age ones were at the beginning. At the beginning they're all excited, I can't wait for age two. Then age two coming it's not that good, but pretty good. I can't wait for age three. Then they're what just happened?
What the hell happened here?
I think we discussed that last time, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, we did.
It's tearing me apart, age.
I wasn't.
Let me change mine. I love the one when Chris just explodes. When everybody keep calling him what's that word? The N word? People keep calling him a narcissist or non-optimist.
This was the second last episode of the year. Chris had exploded with a fit of rage, and that's basically.
Yeah, that episode made me sad.
Yeah.
Basically, it was the birth of Happy Chris.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Basically, due to the amount of jokes taken the wrong way, so many people decided to fit their own rage at Chris and, calling him, basically fitting him with this character of a narcissist. And another S word.
Cynic?
Yeah, cynic person and whatever. But, basically it was a point of, we had our fun, but, he just couldn't take the jokes no more and, whatever. Decided that he would no longer partake in what was known as the Hobos and Dreamers Corner with Sober Ray.
Yeah.
So that makes me sad.
Of course, he'll return to his natural state because he is naturally full of hate, so...
Yeah.
Can I help to crush dreams? But Trina brings up a good point. Gundam Age was the main portion, I'd say, of 2012, if I recall, took up a lot of episodes.
Yeah,
I noticed that when I was flipping through.
And let's not forget the Pat Labor Ground.
Yeah. And what were you saying, Sovereign?
Age took up 7 whole episodes of Gundam.
Yeah. So, I think everybody overall enjoyed, we might not have enjoyed Age, but I think we enjoyed Gundam and listening to them. At first, enjoying it. They were...
The only thing I got to say about Age is that I want my Sundays back.
If I want to be positive about Age, I could say I like the music, but... yeah.
You can say that about
the last part of Age, the whole three shifts thing, I'm not touching that. But,
Dylan?
So, think you're positive.
You got a copy.
Hello? Just oh no. Oh, my internet. Hold on. Hello?
What was that?
Was the chat broken for everyone else, or was that just me?
I think everything just kind of cut off. Like, it's just sort of like chop, 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 chop.
Yeah, Okay. Yeah. Is everybody back? Robert?
Yeah. You guys can hear me, right?
Yeah.
One at a time, folks. One at a time. Edwin?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Dylan?
What about...
Yeah, here.
Varnus?
Yep.
Dallo?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sovereign?
Yep.
Reno?
Reporting for duty.
Okie dokie. Where were we?
We are raging at Age.
We were talking about Age.
We're not talking about Age. We're talking about Gundam.
Talking about Age within Gundam.
I will say this. Gundam made the Age viewings a bit more a lot more how I put it
bearable.
Yes, bearable.
With silly DK.
Surprise! We should understand each other.
DK finally became a man. Then he lost his manhood again.
And what about nobody can forget the classic Giotto's Brigand.
Or the Crossbone Gundam meets Age. With Space Pirates.
Oh yes.
I thought that was Gundam meets Harlock.
Oh, that too.
Various combinations.
Guys, you can't be hating on the Super Piroto.
Yes.
Super Piroto takes on a whole new meaning, man.
And the constant giggling at Uranus and and urine. And but I think we should also call it that Gundam did a good job by, you know, saying, hey guys, let's not judge a book by its cover, let's just watch it and it might be good. And it started off being very violent and being very good, so, you know, they gave it the benefit of the doubt. That was good stuff.
Yeah,
that's right. Then.
Yeah. I
mean, they were the real troopers.
Hey.
All right.
What was the episode where Solbro made the gaffe of where he, you know, said anus, Captain Anus?
I think that would have been the I think that would have been episode I've got here listed as full.
Ooh,
the courtship of Kyo's father, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember right, it was basically that the courtship of Kyo's father, because I remember Flit was making this whole thing about having to go save Kyo at that time, and Natora and was trying to say, was saying no, and that's when he made that flub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, Robert, do you have any other moments you'd like to share from this year?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, episode 100, the most trolliest podcast episode there ever was. Now, I have a question about that. I'm pretty sure Austin was Solbro, and Dalo was Neo.
I was not even involved with that episode.
Nope.
Okay, well, who was Neo?
Neo, I believe, was Peter.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, Peter, sorry. And Chris was Scott Watcher, or...
No, Chris was Pedro Cortez.
Pedro, okay.
I want to be Hideo Cortez.
I'm pretty sure Peter wasn't on that episode. I mean, if I remember right, I think it was Mitsugi from Anime Addicts.
Maybe. Oh. I don't know. Someone...
Last time I checked, it was Mitsugi. It's just they don't like to acknowledge it because of the joke.
Right. Okay.
So if I remember right, it was Pedro was Chris, Mitsugi was Neo, because he was handling the news, and Austin was supposed to be Solbro, I think.
Yeah.
Which is funny on so many different levels.
Indeed. All right, Edwin. Any other moments for you?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to the interview with Aaron Fitzgerald, and I found it kind of interesting because I played through Persona 4, and I'm like, it didn't really click until she actually did the voice. I'm like, oh, that's her. I'm, you know, I like it when they interview, like, voice actors and stuff, especially if they're not the, not so much, you know, the pretentious ones, but the ones that are just, you know, like, they sound like your typical everyday kind of person, because they just seem a lot easier to talk to,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I will give one conceit, a lot of them are like that. We just, I just think a lot of people just think they're larger than life.
Yeah, if you, and they've kind of talked about that, too, with how difficult it is being an anime voice actor, that if they're doing that still, then they do it because they love it and they love the fans. Yeah. So Dylan, you've only listened to one episode. Any good movies you watched in 2012, or any good tacos you ate, or Varnus, go ahead.
Skip.
I guess I'll go in with I think it was the same time they review Crossbone Gundam, they also did a little discussion on E3.
I figured you would bring that one up.
Yeah.
If only because, well, I don't know, it was, I didn't know them. Yeah?
Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm talking to someone right here.
Oh, it's okay. I'm just, well, it was interesting to see, because, I mean, we've already seen how some of them feel, like, when they go over the Chaos Theater and they talk about the games, and then hear them voice their opinions about the Beat Free and what happened with them. And
I don't remember that. What was that one about again?
It was the same episode that they reviewed Crossbone Gundam.
I remember that one.
And the segment after that, they had talked about E3.
E3. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was interesting. I'll be excited to do a fan chat eventually on Gundam Games, because all respect to Gundam and junk, but they haven't played a lot of Gundam games or Mecha games, so they're...
Sorry.
You know... They're,
a lot of them are very overpriced and expensive because they're...
Oh, yeah.
They're hard to Gundam Federation versus Zeon, which is like an ancient game, and I'm like, yeah, that wasn't as good as compared to, like, you know, some of the other classics, like...
Baron's Greed?
well, they did promote the hell out of it way back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, they...
I remember. Yep.
But that
they're still waiting for those chats.
Games overall, yeah. So, let's
see. Still waiting for one Mobile Ops.
I'm kind of glad that.
Eternal Mobile Ops.
What's next on your list there, Dollo?
Okay, well, let me take a look here. Let's see. Gone through. Okay, episode 99. Just for one line, your lens is strong.
This was a part of
that was basically where they were revealing a very bad Harmony Gold or Carl Masek anime, and I just like the line, which is your lens is strong. Don't speak for your mouth, speak for the lens. And Chris would say, my final thoughts and brightest day in black is, oh, wait, wrong. wrong series.
I will bring up that that was probably a part of a three-part series that they were doing with, from episode 97 to 99, they were going on a nostalgia train where they had, where they started with the review of, I think they began with Venus Wars, then Robot Carnival, and then they ended with Lensman.
Yeah, with Lensman being the shortest one.
I don't think I listened to Lensman, but I was about to say, Varnus, later I was going to say Robot Carnival was a good episode. I'd never seen Robot Carnival, but when they talked about it, when they were talking about all the copies of Gundam characters and the creepy Char pedophile, and I was like, let's check this out. So I kind of watched a couple on YouTube, and that was a good episode overall. Funny.
Yeah.
Sovereign, what's next on your list?
Well, I only have one more thing on my list, and that would be from episode 111, the Code Geass OVA coverage with Natalie in Wonderland and Miraculous Birthday. I heard them, and because of their reactions to Natalie in Wonderland, I just had to see it.
Yeah.
It was also hilarious, as I said.
Cool. Actually, I didn't watch Code Geass before that, so I skipped that one. But actually, just before, while I was looking through episodes, I saw that. I was like, oh, there's an OVA, so I put that on my download list for listening to later. So I'm glad it has a recommendation.
But not only in Wonderland, it was definitely good.
I need to give that a try sometime.
So, Torino, what's next on your list?
The Return of Dennis.
Oh.
What was that again?
You know, that actually reminds me of the when I went to actually Macross World and I actually saw Dennis.
The actual voice actor of him?
No. Well, I saw Dennis. He was there.
Cosplayer. Oh, nice.
No, Dennis. Like, the guy who shows up on Gundam, Dennis does show up. I actually saw him. I just didn't mention him because I wanted to forget about him.
Yes.
I didn't say this in the episode, but I think he was the reason why that VHS copy of Macross 2 was at Macross World.
Was he drunk with Roy Fokker?
Well, I didn't see Roy there. That would have been at least made that visit tolerable. But everybody threw him out at that point just so we can get the concert going at Macross World.
Did he get into a fight with the dead Zentradi?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. It was an epic fight. The Zentradi won, though.
Dennis.
Oh, well, of course.
Haven't heard about him in a long time. Maybe he'll show up in the Macross game.
No Macross 2 in that one.
Yeah, there is. That poster, that promo you sent recently.
That's for the concert.
No, that's for a concert they're doing in July.
They have Macross 7, but they don't, or Macross 0, but they don't have Macross 2.
I think
that's weird. Isn't
it's
it?
Generally been treated as the flagship of the franchise, so it's not that huge of a surprise.
I do think that Macross, now that I'm thinking about it, was in Ultimate Frontier on the PSP, but I need to check on that now. Now I have to think about that. Hold on, be right back.
It wasn't Ultimate Frontier.
Okay. It was. I remember Chris mentioning it in 2000. I think it was 2010 when they did another segment on Gundam games.
Okay. I mean, Macross 2 is bad and all, but I mean, Karoons, man. I mean, seriously, Karoons. I mean,
Karoons.
Okie dokie.
I think we just leave it as there's no Dennis, then there's no culture.
This Earth has the best culture. Oh, crap. Right. Well,
the next moment that stuck out was the Vertical Incorporated interview with the about Gundam The Origin.
I was actually going to maybe bring that up as my next interested episode just because I wanted to hear more about that. But
yeah, it was pretty cool. They interviewed the one of the producers or the guy in charge of the bringing it over.
Ed Chavez, I think his name was.
Ed Chavez of Vertical Entertainment's marketing.
Nice guy, and it was a good conversation. And it was the ultimate guilt trip, and I felt so bad for not buying it, and I went out and bought it. So
yeah. I was gonna bring up. Didn't it get only like 5,000 pre-orders or something like that?
Yeah,
4,000.
Yeah, that was part of Chris's end of year rant, but
right.
Which is probably my highlight of the year.
Yeah,
but which they've already talked about like you can pre-order the third volume. So I mean, I guess they're going to try to benefit the doubt of it. So
yeah, but my favorite line from that one was where Neo compared manga distributors to Yakuza.
It
was Mafia guys first, and then Chris changed it to Yakuza.
No, it was Neo. It was Neo who changed it, because he said, so you're basically saying they're like mobsters, essentially. Oh, I'm sorry, the Yakuza.
Yeah,
that's right.
Whenever Neo said, what was it, Bando Namkai?
Bando Namkai.
Bando Namkai, and there was also Bandai Namkai. Bendy Nimke or something like that.
Yeah. He's had a couple blunders in the news lately, in the past recent memory. It's all good fun, though. It's good times.
Not as bad as Sobro, though.
Sobro, I don't recall a lot of it.
Funimation.
Oh, that's just how
Well, that's something that happened. That's only one.
It just happens,
They just don't let it live it out.
Yeah, they don't like to live it out, yeah.
All right, so Robert, why don't you get us your next moment from the year?
Oh gosh.
Yes.
Is that brushing me?
Excuse me for a minute, guys.
Okay, go ahead. All right, Trina.
All right.
Let's see. The two specials, 17 and 18, on Sega. You know, Varnus, you and Solbro and all those guys, you blew my mind because I had no idea that, one, Sega had been around as long as it has been, and two, that Sega is actually a combination of service games. I thought they were just always Sega.
Yeah.
That was just some weird word they'd made up for their company.
Interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't get into that, but...
I'm just
trying to feel guilty about that, if only because... Like, because lately I just started my own podcast, and had I started it around that time, I would have just had that on my own podcast. But then I'm like, I don't have a podcast, and here, can you guys just take this and give it to Gundam?
Yeah. Well, the original thing at that time, Varnus was going to just do it at that time, and I didn't know. I guess I didn't know, Varnus, you were going to start your podcast around that time. But I originally didn't know where it was going to go. But I made an argument to Solbro that it should be on Gundam, just so it has it could be on a popular feed. So
Which
while we're on the subject, shout outs to Gundam for letting us put the fan chat on their blog. That's very nice of them to let us do.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yes.
Yeah, that was cool.
Also, it included one of the rare appearances on Gundam of the original hater, Shoji Romero.
I wouldn't call him the original hater, just a classic hater.
Okay, classic hater. That okay.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
I was kind of surprised about that when Sobo requested me to have him on that chat. So I'm like, oh, Okay. Sure.
Yeah, he's one of the Upset the Script guys, I believe.
Yeah,
he's a Flip the Script guy. And just as an announcement, Level 9 is making a comeback, so.
Oh, they are, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After so many years and only 4 episodes, they're going to have another episode very soon. Yeah,
I don't see how, man. Soulbro is so busy. I don't see how he's going to do it.
I'm back.
Okay, Trina. Good to hear from you.
Hi.
Oh, and kind of a stinks to be kind of pointing fingers, laughing. I'm gonna get to meet Shoji and Soulbro and all them this March, going to Orlando.
Oh, nice!
Mm. MegaCon. Oh, right.
Con season's coming up, isn't it?
Yep. And I'm debating on the dropping the $85 and meeting Sir Patrick Stewart.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Really?
I'm leaning towards yes, because it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Because he's kind of old.
Mm.
But. Okay, Edwin, any other moments on your list?
Let's see. As far as episodes go, I don't think I have much left, but, how about Tokyo Pop going under?
Was that really a big thing, especially since we now know they're coming back?
They are?
Yeah, I read a news article, I think it had to be on Twitter, but it was through AET's Insider that actually Tokyo Pop was coming back. They just went into a dormant state, and currently right now they're going to make a comeback.
Nice.
Are they bringing a Cold to Seal back?
No, it's a good Gundam manga that doesn't sell.
Okay, then I don't care anymore.
Plus, Mikimoto still hasn't finished it yet.
I'm not picking up the origin. I don't want to get burned like I did with a Cold UCL.
Yeah.
I would encourage it, if only because it's essentially like a huge-ass art book, so.
All right, Varnus, any other moments for you?
Oh, boy. Let me think. Oh, yeah. Let's not forget the one where the internet exploded when Disney bought Lucasfilm.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah!
And we had a... And they had a appearance with Mr. Bushido.
Mr. Bushido.
Oh, jeez.
The Mouse King Empire grows ever larger.
The source for the source for Chris's new avatar on MAHQ.
Yeah.
The beautiful Mickey Mouse there.
Yeah.
$4 billion.
He's tried to kick.
All right, Dalo, what you got for us? Any other moments for you?
I got a few here. I'm just gonna run through them really quickly. Cause let's see, episode 116 at 35 minutes 30 seconds, where there was a news article about Star Trek, basically, and that random scientist was complaining about the Enterprise in the water. And basically, the thing that followed was, it's Star Trek. You're debating the science of Star Trek here. And the choice quote that I have from that is Chris, who cares? It's Star Trek.
Yeah.
If you're still trying to figure out all this science 40 years after the original Star Trek, you're doing it wrong.
Yep.
Well, obviously it was just they just had to use tachyon repulsors located on the aft side of the Enterprise to keep them. Actually, I don't know what it was about. So, but anyway, just make up techno babble and there you go.
It's the deflector dish, man. It's always the deflector dish.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And self-sealing stem bolts. Don't forget about the self-sealing. Yeah.
So, what about does anybody remember the episode Notable Anime Mecha Pets and Companions?
I remember that episode.
Oh, that was a cool moment. That was the one where they talked about, you know, the top little companions like Haros and what was it?
Sanders the dog.
Sloth.
Yeah, Sanders the dog.
Alphonse the dog penguin. Too.
Pen.
Gubaba, I think he might have come up.
Yeah, but which episode was that again? I remember the segment. I just can't remember which episode.
I don't know. I didn't write down the episode. That just kind of stood out to me as a good episode of talking about those.
I think they also gave a shout out to Arthur, even though that probably didn't count. But they gave a shout out. The cat.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That was one of Solbro's choices.
Which show is that from?
Kogius, Arthur the cat.
Oh, I hated that
cat. The cat that would actually attack Suzaku.
Oh, I hated that cat.
he bit Suzaku.
He stole the hat. Suzaku did it. It was annoying. But what's next on your list, Jalo?
Well, I'm going to bring up the this episode, which is and somebody mentioned this, which was the it was during the Gundam episode 109 when it basically Chris unleashed basically the another straight talk of basically the chewing out hopers and dreamers. And I bring that up simply because once I heard that, I officially became not a hoper, a dreamer, and became a cynic. And I've affectionately now referred to that as the revelation of Chris. And so every time I hear that, it's like it made me a really angry person that day. And so much so that I now I actually go out of my way looking for hopes and dreams I will crush. So much so that I actually crushed a Hoper and Dream in the Hopers and Dreamers corner. And wow. So chewing out, destroying my own fandom.
Afridalo, I actually signed a petition yesterday to bring Gundam Extreme Versus Full Boost over. What do you think about that?
It's not going to happen because I'll sit here and laugh every time because at the end of the day, it's not going to be in English. It's not going to be officially announced. And I know for the fact because I've been playing it at this arcade that I go to that and their imports at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, Bandai Namco is not going to bring it out because they're more interested in Project X Zone. So hope and dream crush. Move on with your life.
I still believe it. I know a lot also, of them are not impossible, but I mean, like Macross 30, that'll never happen because of licensing. But like this one, they could do it.
No,
I don't trust Bandai Namco. After being both a Gundam fan and a Tails fan, no.
I think you're more likely to get that.
Tails now.
They're taking more risks with other franchises, such as Tales and other games.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Dalo, there are a bunch of Star Wars fans who are posting all sorts of speculation on what they're going to adapt from the EU. Could you please crush their hopes and dreams as well?
Oh yeah, sure. Considering it's like as stated in one of the last episode of Chaos here, the last numbered episode. Chris basically stated, and it's been proven fact for every franchise, every EU of any franchise gets glossed over.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Just for crushing my dream, I got to return the favor, Dalo. Valkyria Chronicles 3 is never coming out, and that fan translation is never getting translated.
I don't care. I don't.
You lose.
Oh boy.
I really, honestly, don't care if Valkyria Chronicles 3 comes anymore. I don't care anymore. I really don't. I'll just go back and play the PS1 game and play my PSP game.
I follow it, and I hope it does. I'm just kidding. But
I crushed your hope and dream because at the end of the day, it did not sell.
I lift your foot off my face and say no. The fan
translation. Tales of Hearts fan translations anywhere close to done? That was like 2 years ago. I looked at that one.
Well, I know this for sure. If you're gonna go out of your way and go get a patch, that's your own damn business. But frankly, I know for a fact. I could give two shits about that fan translation. I actually hope it does get destroyed and some cease and desist comes out of nowhere. I am so happy because I know I can believe it happens considering that My Little Pony fighting game got a cease and desist. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I subscribe to a Sega, Aaron Weber, I think his name is, and he's a guy in charge of some Sega stuff, and he's cool about it, and he talks about it and stuff, so.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it doesn't mean it's gonna make money.
You know about the big Sega cease and desist thing that's been going on? Nate, just out of curiosity, on YouTube?
No.
Anything mentioning Shining Force they were getting rid of to sell their upcoming game. That way people wouldn't find the older things, even if it was mentioned or in the video title. Even if it wasn't breaking copyright, they were filing it, yeah. Sega,
well technically, cool, as everything stands on YouTube, if you're posting something that you didn't create, it still falls within legal grounds of them banning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Even if it's just mentioning it, though, by name?
Sure.
Well, I still hope and dream, and let's go to the hoper and dreamer in the room. Tarina, what is your
Yes, say a say something so I can crush it.
Not dream. Well, moving on. Well, Tarina, what's another Gundam moment?
Hopers and dreamers, oh. Connor.
We're so right.
Which one? There's been a few.
Well, I love the SRW one. I love that because it was pushing the envelope so far. It pretty much burst. First, you want the original remake. Then you want the OG2 remake. Then you want the second. Original remake. Then you want the OG Gaiden. Then you want the second OG. Then you want a die-cast metal SRX model kit in a nice box set.
Oh man.
Oh gosh.
All right, Sovereign. What you got another moment for us for 2012?
Yeah, I got two. One, and both of them for Painter Christmas.
Chris Rance seemed to be popular.
Well, Chris Rance are always fun. One is when Sobo was talking about Gene Roddenberry and being a wonderful, nice creator, and Chris basically just slammed him down and like, no, Gene Roddenberry's an asshole.
I suddenly love Chris. I love Chris so much.
Oh, man.
Just for that. Which episode was that, actually? If you could specify, please.
I think that was in the early 90s, I think 94 or 95.
Yeah. But Gene, I gotta watch it because, oh man.
And the second one was in episode 96 when Chris heard of one of the new, edits to the Star Wars movies. And he just basically spewed out venom at George Lucas.
Oh yeah.
About Greedo shooting Fox.
Yeah.
Both of those are fun.
I remember that one.
I guess if you want to hear hate on Gene Roddenberry too, you can listen to Chaos Theater's Star Trek review episode.
Yep, that too.
Well, it depends on the episode.
There was only one episode about Star Trek.
No, there's been several.
It's a movie in the series.
I kind of put Gene in this
animated series. Let's not forget.
Oh, yeah. What's that, Dylan? Go ahead.
Sorry, I kind of throw Gene and Lucas into the same pool where they created an okay universe. It's just that I know you brought up Star Trek earlier when we were just in the chat. You know, watching The Next Generation. You gotta compare the episodes that were made before his death to after his death, when the writers were forced to conform to his vision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, no love lost between me.
Well, at least whenever he was around, we had series. Look at us now; we have no series. This ain't right.
Well, yeah, true, but I don't think that's a result of Gene. I mean, we still had a few series after
he was.
You know.
He was dead by the time Star Trek Voyager came around. TV series. I will defend Curse Voyager to the end of the day.
Oh, I love all three of them, really. DS9 happens to be my favorite, but TNG, Voyager, and DS9, I liked all of them.
Well, Star Trek is definitely a potential chat candidate, right, Robert?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so I'll say
this about any creative of a sci-fi universe. They can probably do a wonderful job of creating this universe, but at the end of the day, the fan base will just run into the ground.
Didn't Chris say that fans were the worst thing that happened to a series?
Or the poor creator will sell their rights before they know it's going to get paid, like poor Torino did. I mean, not Torino, I mean,
Torino.
Hello. This a vision of the future?
No. Hey, Yoshimitsu. I don't know why it's Torino. I'm looking at
Kill them all, Torino. That has a ring to it.
Kill them all, Torino.
I didn't do it because Tomino and Torino sound similar. Okay.
And so that's my new podcast name.
Okay. Okay. What was the call in chat? Was that 2012? Or was that 2011?
That was 2011.
Oh, I thought it was 2012 because I was gonna say that was a good moment of Gundam.
That was episode 88. That's 2011. Chat. That's 2011.
Okay. Well, what about Viva La Censorship? That was a funny one where they talked about all the funny Funimation edits and how they changed. I love the "I'll destroy you" rather than "I'll peel you" for Gundam Wing.
Yeah.
It's a Gundam. Sorry, had to say.
Even sent to the next dimension.
Yeah.
Wait. One more line for that. Fools. Sorry. Okay. Continue.
The cure for cancer is talkies.
That's all I have on my list here. It's been an awesome Gundam year. Does anybody else have anything they want to share? Any other Gundam moments or shout-outs before we kind of wrap things up?
I'm good.
I'm pretty much good. I've already gone through my list, and currently right now I missed out on the bid to get a poster on eBay, but that's perfectly fine. So
get a poster on eBay.
Yeah, it's a particular poster. I won't say online about what it is, considering.
Oh my!
It's not like that.
Oh my!
You got something now? Okay. It's not random, Dalo, but okay.
As one last.
Oh, before we go, Dalo, I'm glad you lost your bid.
Wait, what?
Your hopes and dreams are crushed.
you know, I will go to bed and not really care.
Say it.
Oh man.
Okay.
This is fun.
I think we could all say that. Yeah, I mean, Gundam 2012, great year. I hope that maybe listen to this.
Oh yeah, there was one thing we must mention, although it wasn't necessarily on Gundam. We survived 2012.
Yes.
Yeah. No mind.
Oh yeah.
Yay, no Moonlight Butterfly destroys technology.
Yeah, I personally think Desmond from Assassin's Creed 3.
Nice.
Oh man.
But hopefully, I don't even know if the Gundam themselves listen to the episodes, but if they do, I think we all want to say thanks to them for another great year of entertainment.
Yep.
Definitely makes the kids and boring cube work jobs and whatever place you listen to them, more bearable.
It makes the bus rides to work bearable.
Indeed. Well, I guess if nobody else has anything else to say, I think we'll stop it here. And guys, I'm real sorry about the technical difficulties with Power Grandma has betrayed me and didn't tell me that they...
it betrayed us all.
They betrayed us just like Mevio.
Yeah.
Ah.
Don't you all see? This is Skynet. Skynet is taking over.
Yeah.
First they start with the podcast, then the world.
But, appreciate it.
Then Moses Neo can come up and save us.
Yeah.
Yes, with his tome in hand, he will be our savior.
Yeah.
Along with Michael Bay and Larry King.
Bay.
Man, Larry King, no.
But all right, guys. Well, appreciate being patient about that. Sorry about that. But yeah, I'm glad y'all were able to make it, and we talked about some good moments in 2012. And we'll talk about the next topic on the Facebook and the MechaTalk forum, and just watch there to find out what's up next. And we'll see you guys then.
All right. See you. All right.
See ya.
See ya.
Yep.
Okay, guys, well, this is the Gundam special. We just got finished in Group 1 with the Gundam fans, and lo and behold, I have a few special guests here to come talk with us about 2012 and what's been going on and all that good stuff. So, guys, why don't you introduce yourselves?
My people, I love you. Welcome. This is the Gundam Special for 2012. Thank you, Nathan. I am Chris Hunche, and these are my two cohorts, Sobro Rio.
Sup.
Always enthusiastic. And Neo!
The Blonde Ace.
The Blonde Ace. So okay. How was that, Nathan?
Well, thanks, guys, for coming so much. I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy schedule. Well, we were just kind of talking about various topics from 2012, and I wanted to kind of ask you guys about what stood out to you in Gundam this year with 2012 and in the news and whatnot. So, Neo, I guess while we're talking about news, anything in the news kind of stand out to you?
Well, there's been some news about Transformers 4, and I can't say I'm really all that thrilled because you know, we already had those three Transformers movies that were nothing to write home about, and now we're going to get more directed by Michael Bay. Oh, boy.
But it's got Mark Wahlberg. He's going to be the saving grace of this movie. He's going to be the guy that makes this movie amazing.
One man alone does not save a sinking ship.
Yes, yes, he can. If he can make Ted the most funniest movie of 2012, he can make Transformers a worthwhile movie again.
The lowbrow opinions
still
don't count.
By Michael Bay, so I'm not holding out any hope.
You're not a fan of Michael Bay, Neo? What about?
Do you listen to the podcast? Of course, I'm not a fan of Michael Bay, man. Don't talk to me about.
What about Bad Boys 2?
The Happening.
Bad Boys 2, the worst movie ever. That Bad Boys 2.
Okay, well, I'll take it from you. Anything else, Neo, that kind of stood out to you from the news? I think I heard that they might be coming out with a new made robot or something like that. What do you think about that?
Oh, my God.
That would be entirely awesome, and I wouldn't mind owning one. I could be like that Mr. Universe guy from Serenity.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Universe and with the Playboy robot.
I never watched Serenity. I don't really watch TV that much, so I don't get that reference. Sorry, guys.
Oh, my God.
What is it, Saul, bro?
I can't believe it. You're seriously considering getting one of those, really?
Saul, bro, what did you think of Serenity, the movie?
Hated it. Got bored. Fell asleep about halfway through. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I hear that the robots are coming into play, and I hear that you're going to be able to give your credit card information to them, and they're going to have all those at work. So, yeah, that was some good news we heard about this year, right, Neo?
Yeah, I mean, you know, robots are going to make our lives easier and make it, you know, so much more, fun. And, yeah, I love them.
Sounds good. Well,
Neo, the only reason why you want a robot is so you can have a sex droid. We all know that.
I ain't never said that.
I read your tweets because I don't know how, but you're on Twitter, and I read all your tweets, and I know all the time you're adding everybody saying, dude, I cannot wait for them sex droids to show up.
So, okay.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
So, we kind of talked about 2012 a little bit, so we're kind of looking at the year ahead, you know, 2013 a little bit too here. I hear that there's going to be some new video games coming out. Solbro, any games stand out to you that you're really excited about buying?
Well, here's hoping another new Tekken comes out, because, I mean, I can't count on Capcom anymore after all that crap they pulled of Street Fighter 4 and all that online DLC. What you need is your DLC on your disc, if you're going to bother that at all. That way, everything you get is in one nice little package, and you can make more money that way.
What about the upcoming JoJar's Bizarre Adventure, Solbro? Aren't you excited about that one?
You mean the gay version of Fist of the North Star? No. No. All the flowers and pretty boys and whatnot. Look, all you need is two dudes beating the crap out of each other, and really, they don't need to look pretty.
Okay, sounds good. Well, a big portion of 2012 was the Gundam Age, and I'm kind of fuzzy on what y'all's opinions of Gundam Age was. Neo, what did you think of the characters of Gundam Age and the show overall?
Well, you know, in anime, nobody wants to watch the female characters, so I'm glad they pretty much just cut all of the women characters out of there. And Kyo is the greatest Gundam protagonist ever. I mean, holy crap, did you see all the things that guy did? I mean...
You mean didn't do? Seemed like he just spent a lot of time talking to me.
Hey, that's the future, man. That's how you're going to get people to stop fighting. Is, you know, you can't do it with guns and mobile suits and all that stuff. You got to talk them down, man.
Yeah, I'm like trying to.
What's Gundam Age? I've never heard of Gundam Age. What's that?
Worst Gundam series ever.
There's a new Gundam series out.
Yeah. I mean, you don't stay up to date on that.
Oh my god, I totally missed that one. I work for MHQ and I don't stay up to date with my website. I'm sorry. Let me Google this real quick.
Okay.
What?
Do that.
What is this? What?
While you're doing.
Oh my god, there's been a. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry about that, Chris. Just curious, Robert. A lot of people are saying that Gundam Age is the worst show since Gundam Seed Destiny. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, what did you think of Gundam Seed Destiny? I mean, how does that rank up in your list?
No, that's one of the greatest. It's just one of the greatest Gundam series ever. I mean, you know, it started out. It had some problems there at the beginning, you know, with that that weird Shin guy. But you know, as we all know, that guy was never intended to be the main character. So I'm glad that Shin and Atherin got back into the spotlight, and that you know, it just it's the greatest thing ever, man.
Okay. Is it better than Zeta Gundam?
Oh, loads better. It's tons better than Zeta Gundam. It blows Zeta Gundam out of the water.
Yeah, the mecha designs in Seed Destiny are a lot better than in Zeta too. Because I mean, just the Zeta Gundam was just a Macross ripoff, anyways. That's the only reason why.
Oh hell no! I know you didn't just go there.
I did
No.
The only reason why the Zeta was even created was just because Macross was popular over in Japan land, and so because it was popular over there, they're like Gundam's like, well, we got to be popular too, so let's make a Wave Rider mode thing.
Never mind the fact that basically what they did with Destiny was like, hey, all those designs in 0079 were so awesome, but people don't remember them. I know, let's do it again, because I don't think we got the point clear enough the first time around. And we feel really freaking lazy, so why not?
Also, so every single time that they redesign the Zaku and the Gelgoog and the Dom and like the 15 different versions of it inside of 0079 and Universal Century, that's not lazy. That's being, you know, optimistic and fancy, but when they redo it in an alternate universe, it's not an homage, it's just being lazy, right?
Dang right it is.
Okay.
Soul Bro, man. Back with the hate.
Yeah, that's pretty much Soul Bro. He's our resident hater.
Soul Bro, I mean, some of us were talking on the forums about how, you know, I mean, Chris here, he's our you know, rising star of the forums. He defends us.
Oh, and, yeah, they love me there. I'm a hero there.
And some of us were talking about how we were hoping that Mobile Ops comes over here, Soul Bro, and you were shooting that down. I mean, why is that? What's your thoughts on this Mobile Ops? I mean, why are you doing this to us?
I'm telling you, Mike, since when do they care? Since when does Sunrise care about the Gundam fans out west? I mean, they released Crossfire, and they were like, yeah, because we don't want to bother with localization or any of that crap anymore. So I know, let's give them a game that we're sure is going to bomb. That way we don't have to waste our time with those people. So forget it. Have fun with your Dynasty Warriors, like they listen to our fans. You're gonna take your Dynasty Warriors Gundam and you're gonna like it. That's all you're getting.
If enough people on Twitter keep using that hashtag bring back Gundam, something will eventually happen. I can guarantee it as an insider in the anime industry.
Yeah,
AKA I have a website.
Yeah, something's gonna happen. The moderator's gonna read them and start deleting them.
So, yeah, I gotta agree with Chris on this. You know, I really think that if the fans just get involved some more, you know, we could really start to see some things happening here.
Okay,
are
I
you
hear
kidding
you.
Me? Fans are the worst thing to happen. That's why we got that aborted piece of fan fiction that will see Destiny. You don't listen to the fans; you listen to the directors and their opinions because they know what they're talking about. Mm. And all the little random Narutars and everything running around on the boards—they don't know crap about the industry.
Now you're starting to hate on Naruto, man. What's wrong with you? You need to calm it down, all right? You need to simmer down now. You need to simmer down. You need to retard the hate, sir. Retard the hate.
Have you been drinking the Wild Turkey again?
Damn right, I had a pint of that. Had that and a pint of vodka before I got here. Why?
What have I told you about drinking on? What have I told you about drinking on the podcast? I told you this is a straight edge podcast. This is a no drinking.
I work better drunk.
This is a straight edge podcast. CM Punk is our Lord and Savior and the savior of all the internet. And with him behind us, we will make sure that Gundam goes somewhere. You being plastered on the podcast three podcasts out of the year is not going to do anything good for us. You're just going to burp and hiccup the entire time.
Yeah, that's why I got better.
You and I were talking before the podcast, you know, before this interview, and you were talking about that. You had a little express, a little midnight express, as it were, about a subject that you were a little heated on, that people on the forums were kind of hating on a certain movie that – go ahead, Chris. Okay.
All right. So I normally do this segment on the show, but I thought since we're doing this special that I would do the special version of the Midnight Express. So I thought I'd bring something new, something nice, something fresh to the special edition podcast here, all right? Mm-hmm. So – in today's edition of the Midnight Express, I'm going to talk about a subject that's very near and dear to me and that has been ticking me off the past couple of months, and that's all of this hatred and all of this unnecessary and uncultivated hatred toward G-Savior, all right? Now I understand that G-Savior is a movie that not everybody likes. It's an old movie that has not exactly the best graphics and not exactly the best, you know, plot. But when you watch what it is, it's an amazing movie, all right? It's only 90 minutes, okay? It's only an hour and a half, so it's not going to take that much time out of your life, all right? We've been talking about 150... Shut up, Soul Bro! Don't interrupt me!
Sorry, I just couldn't take it anymore. It's in the
best I know. Go sleep in a bottle for 15 minutes and let me talk, all right? Don't interrupt me like you always do, all right?
Come on, Soul Bro, let the man talk, man.
Alright, fine. I'll let him defend his little point. Sure, have fun. Go right ahead.
Now, Soul Bro, we just know you're going to crush in the end anyways.
Yeah, okay. So have your fun, okay.
Alright. Let me get my point across here. Alright. So, the movie is only about an hour and a half, alright? And it is chock-filled with interesting and amazing little things that overall makes the movie that much better, alright? You've got the voice actress who played Lady Un playing one of the characters in the movie, alright? You've got the fact that the bad guy, the Earth Federation rip-off company, I can't remember what they're called, like,
Consent.
Consent. That all of their soldiers are using the Starship Trooper uniforms and the same guns. That's an awesome little homage to that movie that was popular, like, I think 3 years before then, all right? The CG animation. All right, I hear this all the time about the CG animation, okay? The movie only had a $10 million budget. All right, $10 million back in 2000 was not very much, all right? You were only able to do so much when you have those amazing sets, the military scene where they're running across that parking – or the military compound. That, you know, that was very, very expensive. And so with the CGI that they had available, they don't have the same CGI technology they have nowadays where you can make your Kung Fu Pandas and your everything else in CGI and just mass produce it. So when you've got what you've got – but then G-Savior, no one comprehends this. It is an American Gundam series, all right? Yes, it was a movie. It didn't work. It wasn't that popular. It didn't make that much money, but it's in an American Gundam series. We got one Gundam series. France doesn't have this. China doesn't have this. Australia doesn't have this. America does. And so I don't understand why so many people are talking about how terrible the movie is, because the acting's not that bad. The plot's convoluted a little bit, but it's not terrible. And the fighting, but the thing that makes the movie epic, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinions, is the fighting scene at the very end on the colony, mirrors on the arm of the colony. All right. So I've heard people complain about how the fight scene at the end, when the G-Savior has his arm stuck in the metal and light lenses of the colony, that when the armor detaches itself, that's just a gimmick. I wholeheartedly disagree, because the entire point of the G-Savior is to be a multi-atmospheric combat unit. It can go into space, it can go into Earth, it can do anything it needs to, and so by detaching its armor, it's able to do so. And the gimmick of them saying that just being able to release the arm was just for that one scene and it was just a gimmick, whatever, I wholeheartedly disagree. The fighting scene at the very end is amazing. The mecha designs are amazing. The CGI is what makes the mecha designs kind of look goofy, but when you look at the actual line art, the line art makes the G-Savior and the all the other mecha in that series look good. Not the best, but good. All right, so all of you haters that are talking about how crappy and blah, 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 and it's the worst thing or whatever, and it hurts you, it makes your eyes bleed and your soul fall out of your butt, you know, whatever, you guys just need to calm it down and shut up about your stupid, pointless criticisms of an amazing classic such as G-Savior.
Good points, Chris.
Slash
okay.
Rant.
Thank you for putting that on us. What are the thoughts of the other viewers? Go ahead, Slurp. I know you're itching to talk about this. What do you think of this?
You call me a drunk. I think you were drunk when you were watching that movie, because that's the only way I could possibly enjoy it. Oh, wait, I didn't. Sorry. But anyway, look, you're talking about you're using designs from Starship Troopers, you're using a low-budget set, and it seems to me that they really just got really lazy. Plus, you have your movie directed by a bunch of people who really have, apparently have never seen a Gundam series before, because nothing makes sense at all. It's only vaguely connected to the UC. And, yeah, sure, the CGI looked good back in 96. This movie came out in, like, 2000 or so. By then, we already had, like, Final Fantasy IX, and you already had your groundwork for your PS2s coming out. And come on, by then, shoot, that makes the initial D CGI look good by comparison. And I hate those character designs. And your actors, okay. Yeah, sure, you got the person dubbing Yoon in there, right? Okay, you know, that's like saying you got one mediocre car in a junkyard full of crap. I mean, come on. Are you talking about a bunch of low-talent, B-rank actors that no one's ever heard of? It was recorded somewhere in Canada or whatever. And look, if these people had any notoriety at all, we would have heard about them. And, well, you're talking about an entirely unknown cast, so okay. Yeah, I can already tell this is going to be a stinker, but okay, amuse me. Let's see how well you do. And look, you're talking about being a multi-terrain type Gundam. They've always been like that. You don't need some armed jettisoning contraption like something out of a bad James Bond movie to be part of the initial design.
Not ground type. Right. Not the Gundam ground type. You can't put a Gundam ground type in the space. You can't put the GPO-1 in the space. The thing blew up when it tried to go up in the space. That had to become the GPO-2.
Blue Destiny.
I think Neo made a point about that, about putting ground types into space. I mean, Neo, weren't you telling me the other day the worst mobile suit ever created? What was that again?
Gosh, what was the worst mobile suit ever created?
I thought you said it was the gun tank. Was that it?
Oh, yes, gun tank. No, screw that gun tank. Screw it with an iron pike.
But it was so awesome when it flew through space.
It makes so much sense to put a tank in space, because there's no kickback in space. There's no air in space, so there's no way for kickback. So when you shoot your cannons, you don't go spinning off into the sunset, literally.
No,
you just go flying into a space colony.
A tank, half a tank, half a mobile suit. With treads and everything, flying in space, it looks ridiculous.
Dang right.
Chris, I'll give you the line art for G-Savior, but come on. Half tank in space, man. Seriously.
But there were no gun tanks in G-Savior, so why are you guys even talking about gun tank?
I'm just talking about, you were saying about the stuff in space.
Oh, like ground type? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Blue Destiny Unit 2 and 3 were in space, just saying.
Well, while the subject of G-Savior, Solro, Neo, did you have to say anything about G-Savior?
Well, I can't say I like it quite as much as Chris does, and I have to admit, you know, it not having the panoramic cockpit does rankle a little bit, but, you know, it's not as bad as everybody says it is, you know?
Yeah.
And I respect the opinions of my colleague, Solro Ryu, but... You know, I really don't think it's as bad as everyone makes it out to be, you know?
Okay.
Please don't hurt me.
If I want to put G-Savior into a category, I would put G-Savior in the same category as the Super Mario Brothers live-action film, okay? It's not a one-to-one translation from the original thing it was based on into a movie, but it has elements that are from that same storyline, from that same universe, and it's what's the word? It's a guilty pleasure. I don't like using that phrase too often because it makes my ears bleed. But if you would call G-Savior anything, it's a guilty pleasure. Yeah, it's got its faults, but it's not this like painful death movie that everyone seems to complain about.
I mean, Chris, YOLO, right?
Yes, YOLO. You only live once. Yeah, that's the reason why I've got a whole thing of hot peppers right here in front of me.
Oh my god, good jump on a fire.
I'm a burn victim! You know that! You can't say that to me on the internet!
You got a lot of
peppers. Sure, I can.
Chris, along with your other figurines, what other kind of figurines you got in there? I'm kind of curious. What do you have in you, and your lifestyle there?
Well, I've got I've been collecting this kind of under the radar show that some people probably have never heard of before. It's called My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic. No one's really heard of it. No one knows a lot about it. No one, you know, but there's these little like $1.99 like miniatures that they have at Walmart. And every time that I get a paycheck from work, you know, where I work at Burger King, I always go to Walmart and I buy at least 17 or 18 of those things because it's great to see little children crying when they go to that My Little Pony box for the little figurines that's completely empty and I'm walking away giggling like a schoolgirl with them all in my hands, you know, because it's great.
And that's
to
why I live in a cardboard box outside my apartment.
I live in your basement, Sober Ryu, not in the cardboard box. That was last week. This week I live in your basement, thank you, because it was getting cold outside.
Too bad I affected you.
I told you I'll pay you in donuts next week, damn it. All right, so another show that I've been trying to get into besides My Little Pony is Star Trek Enterprise. It's been on Netflix for a while, and I've been told it's a really great series, so I've been trying to give it a watch because I really liked Voyager and I really liked Star Trek Nemesis, and so I thought, you know, Star Trek Enterprise, it's got a big-boobed Asian, it's got a big-boobed Vulcan, and it's got a dog running around in it, so that's an instant solution to make it an awesome series.
And speaking of big, I mean, big muscle men, I mean, that's part of your up reality too, right?
Oh, yeah. It's got, what's his name? Scott Bakula in it, you know, from Quantum Leap.
I mean, as far as, like, gameplay, man, like, the WWE, I mean, are you a big fan of that?
Oh, yeah. I need to do another Midnight Express on The Rock coming back to the WWE at the Royal Rumble just to have a mediocre piece of junk match to beat CM Punk for the championship just so he can go to WrestleMania in a couple of weeks and lose it to John Cena again, and so then The Rock can leave again. But it's just, it's aggravating. I swear to God.
Yeah, Chris, remember, this is Gundam at MAHQ, not WrestleMania at MAHQ. I know you love your wrestlers, man, but
take your delusions of grandeur somewhere else.
Okay, guys, okay. Well, thanks for that Midnight Express there, Chris. You know, kind of getting back to 2013, upcoming movies. I've heard a lot of good stuff about this movie, Pacific Rim. Solbro, I mean, what do you think about this movie? I mean, a lot of mecha fans are thinking that this is going to be a good boost for the mecha genre and the movie scene. And, you know, who knows? There may be a Gundam movie. I mean, the hopers and dreamers are really hoping that this might be the shot for Gundam in America.
They can keep thinking, because are you kidding me? Gundam's popularity tapped out sometime around the time they started releasing Seed because it royally sucked. I don't care what people say. It was a horrible abortion of a series. Its fanfiction sequel was even worse. After all that, what kind of a dang fool believed that Bandai will even try again? So enjoy your little fan movie and whatnot about that Pacific Rim, but enjoy it knowing that it will probably be the last mecha-related thing they'll ever try outside of another abortion of a Michael Bay film. And then, once you finally have reality set in, and you see your mistakes for what they are, then you have my permission to die.
I heard that they're going to make a Robotech movie, possibly. What do you think about that, Solbro?
That's what they've been saying for, like, the past 30 years. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. You're talking about wrangling licensing rights from Japan and all that, and, yeah, just move along. Move along.
Okay.
I think I have to agree with I agree partly with Solbro on Michael Bay, we just can't have him touching anything. We'll leave him to Star Wars. We'll leave him to Transformers. But I think Pacific Rim has a shot, but Robotech movie, well, Shadow Chronicles was kind of good, but I'd prefer if they did something Macross related, like maybe live action Macross Frontier or something like that. I don't know.
Okay, because you had what were your thoughts of the characters in Macross Frontier? I mean, you had Cheryl, right? Cheryl, and then the other songtress, what was her name? I mean, wasn't she your...
Useless Moe Blob, right?
Yeah, I mean, what did you
think? Here we go again.
Every female character is a Moe Blob that you sell, bro. I mean, are you going to be more sexist on the podcast again? Do I have to mute you again? Well, I can't because Nathan's doing it. But you cannot call every girl that's in an anime a Moe Blob. That is the most generic phrase. That's like saying that Nasca from Nasca in the Valley of the Wind is a Gary Sue or something like that. Does not work. It does not fit. Just because she's okay. Cute and young and has a little green squishy cell phone does not make her a Moe Blob.
Okay, let me rephrase. Empty, shallow, background, little to no development, just there to appease the fanboys. Is that better? Is that a little more accurate for your tastes?
The robots are there to appease the fanboys.
This isn't the 1980s anymore. Nobody watches Macross for the mechs anymore.
Are you expecting Macross Frontier to be like 24 and a character driven epic super drama, or are you wanting it to be a thing about robots fighting monsters in space?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he says.
What? Well, Nia, what did you think of Ranka and this shallowness? I mean, is this true? I mean, was she a shallow character? I mean, what did you think of her?
Well, I mean, you know, we've already done our Macross Frontier reviews, so I suppose you could go back and listen to those.
Well, that's true, but just enlighten us a little bit.
Best episode.
Okay, well, I thought she was a really good character. I liked her. I liked how she played off of Alto and Cheryl. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, Alto is the problem with that whole equation. You know, he's such a friggin' dense little idiot that can't see what he's got in front of him. And you know what, guys? You know what? I've been kind of sitting on this, but you know how I think the TV series should have ended? I mean, I would have preferred if Alto had chosen Ranka at the end of the movies, but, you know, the fact that he chose helps anyway. But you know how I would have preferred the end of the TV series to be? If Cheryl and Ranka had gone off by themselves and left Alto in the dust. That would have been better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
probably. Like they jump into the fighter and they fly off into the sunset together, leaving him behind to be a geisha or whatever the hell he was.
Exactly.
But you know what? To Alto's defense, I mean, not every girl can be a lesbian. Of course he wasn't of course he couldn't decide. You're asking a girl to choose a girl. How's that gonna work?
Cheryl was not a girl. Cheryl was a shapeshifter. Did you guys notice that her boob size would change every other episode? Like, in the first episode, she was like a B cup. By the 25th episode, she was like a double D cup. Like, those things grew and changed on whim.
Hmm.
Oh, we know you like it. Don't try and deny it.
Like every episode you could be like, let's see, what you could make it a hashtag on Twitter, or what bra size is she today? Oh, she's a D cup. Oh, she's an A cup. Oh, she's a flat chest now.
So the Macross Frontier roundups were a very good moment for Gundam, we thought, and you know, the fans really appreciated those, and we also really enjoyed the Gundam 00 episodes, and we were just thinking about Solbro and how much he just hated on Saji and how Chris and Nia, we all believed in you guys that we think that maybe a new series coming out
into this?
That he might be the next main character. I mean, that he might be the rising star, the King Arthur, if you will. I mean, Solbro, I mean,
look, maybe if King Arthur was a woman, I could make that comparison. Oh wait, no, King Arthur was a woman. Still manlier than him. He was utterly useless. He was a whiny crybaby almost the entire time. And
there goes Solbro being sexist again.
Even the androgynous guy had to bitch slap him because they're like, come on. He made a bunch of stupid decisions. All he cared about was saving his whiny ass girlfriend, who really he would be better off about anyway, because she was utterly useless to the plot. Almost as useless as that Emma character from Zeta. But anyway. But
don't you talk about Emma.
What?
Did
I touch a nerve? Is that it? Did I touch a nerve? That's a nerve.
Maybe.
See, I activated comments on MAHQ so that whenever I would put up my my glorious, well-educated and well-researched reviews onto the website for everyone to participate in and love, I regret doing that now, Sobro, because when I put up the 00 movie review, Rise of the Rising Revengers, or whatever that movie was called, because I don't remember animes very well, you Endless posted Waltz. Like three endless, yes, 00 Endless Waltz. You posted like 3.5 paragraphs about how I talked way too much about Saji Crossroads. Okay, he's the main character of the series. All right, the Gundam guys. This was a revolutionary breakthrough in Bandai writing. They made a non-Gundam pilot the main character, and they made the Gundam pilots a secondary background character. It was foundational in their new way of writing. I'm guessing with this age thing, because I haven't got
they
a chance to watch
that. They did that in 0080. Nobody liked Al. They liked Bernie even less. That's why they made him a hamburger.
Oh, okay. now are you going to start making fun of my AMVs that I've made of him? Huh? Is that what you're going to do now? You're going to do this again? Mm. We're going to bring up my inappropriate AMVs about Bernie?
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
So much hate. But, yeah, I mean, 2013 is looking like a good year, and we're all very excited about another year of Gundam, and all very excited about the new movies coming up. We listened to your episode on the new movies, like Iron Man 3 coming out. I believe Solbro and Chris, you guys were very excited about Iron Man 3, but I can't remember what Neo was thinking on that one. What do you think about Iron Man 3, Neo? Another good hit, or what are you thinking?
Meh.
Come on, what's
Dark Knight
not to
Rises
like
was better.
You're not a fan of Iron Man, are you, Neo?
Well, you know, he's a Marvel superhero just like the rest of them, but, you know, Batman is where it's at. You know, Batman doesn't even need a powered armor. Batman just needs some spandex and his utility belt and
speech lessons. Don't forget speech lessons. Sound like he was gargling. He was gargling marbles throughout the entire Dark Knight trilogy.
Tell me where my pants are.
I mean, at least with Robert Downey Jr. I mean, you're talking about a pretty funny actor and a guy you can understand clearly, and I thought you liked robots. He uses a robot suit. How could you not like that over some dude running around in spandex?
Okay, I will give you the Iron Man suit itself, but, you know, I grew up with Batman, and he's the greatest superhero ever, you know. Iron Man suit aside, greatest superhero ever. And I mean, come on. Christian Bale's Batman voice was not that bad. It was certainly better than Kevin Conroy's voice.
Tell me where your pants are! Tell me where my pants are!
Okay, I mean, I give it to you. He sounded normal when he wasn't being Batman. But when he was, like, who can understand that? That's why I have to actually watch the DVDs with the captions on, because I can't understand half of what that guy is saying.
I could understand it better than Tom Hardy's Bane.
Batman.
You mean? What? You mean Mag? What? You mean Magneto targets through a muffler? What?
I just love the fact that Tom Hardy was the Vulcan Romulan Shinzon in Star Trek Nemesis, which is, like, to me, the best Star Trek movie ever. But the fact that he went from that Shinzon character, who was a scrawny, bald guy, to a muscular, bald guy with a speech impediment, I loved it.
Well, okay, well, yeah, so, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic about Iron Man 3. I mean, we'll see about that. I mean, Iron Man 2 wasn't very good, in my opinion, but first one and maybe the third one, but I mean, I hear you, Neo, on some points there. I know how you hate Iron Man so much, but I think you might be able to give it a chance. It might be good. You know, some of the fans are hoping for to re-energize the Gundam fandom, that they need to reanimate the original series. What do you think about that, Chris? I mean,
yes. I've been talking about this for weeks now. I've been thinking about it, and they're going to be bringing Origin out as an anime soon. And of course, they're going to bring it over to America with a great dub cast. But we're just going to wait for that one, because I'm still expecting Turn A to come over here. But I believe that 0079, that Mobile Suit Gundam needs another version of it to be brought out, and it needs to be reanimated with, like, I need a production company.
Now, I respect your opinion,
and
I'm going to let you finish, but I'm telling you, it doesn't need to be reanimated. I mean, reanimating the original Gundam is like taking like a random Looney Tunes short and reanimating that. And I don't know if you've seen the Looney Tunes show or not, but come on, you are making a horrible abortion out of what is like museum quality material. I mean, I can understand wanting to like remaster it or whatnot. That's fine. Because, you know, it's old. I mean, animation gets old with age. You want to, you know, make it look fresh. But reanimate? Oh, no, 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 no. You're talking like that Seed HD remake stuff where...
No, no, no. They need to do the Mobile Suit Gundam like they did the Star Wars. They need to go back in and they need to add in CGI. Mm. They need to reanimate it. They need to put in new characters. They need to make it more kid-friendly. They need to make the series more compatible to nowadays standards. They need to make Mobile Suit Gundam this wonderful masterpiece just like the Star Wars movies are.
You said you always say old animation is old, right, Chris?
I'm sorry, what'd you say? I couldn't hear you over Solboro being hateful again.
You always say old animation is old, right?
Yeah, because old animation, they were limited by just how to draw pictures. They were limited by their technology. They were limited with their imaginations, with their brain size. But now that we're in the 2000s, we're in 2013, there's so much better quality technology that we could put into the series. If people want the original Mobile Suit Gundam, they can go buy the DVDs with the subtitles and blah, blah, blah. But we need to make a new version that is much more modern in its storytelling and in its animation and everything. Because, I mean, Solboro, tell me, would you not be excited to see a CGI Gundam flying at a 3D screen in Japan with a live-action Amuro Ray piloting it? Wouldn't that make you happy?
You, sir, I will have your head on a pike and your entrails flayed across the ground. I suppose I suppose now you're going to tell me Hisashi Hirai is the best character designer ever.
I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know character designers. I just watch the cartoons because they got pretty pictures. That's all I know, man. I don't know character designers. So you start naming all these jibbity-jabbity-jibbity-Japan names or whatever, I'm just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I just know it's a Gundam, it's a pretty thing, and I made a website about it. That's all that matters, all right?
So what you're saying is your arguments have no weight.
You're the one with all the weight, Solboro. Oh! 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 Oh!
Now, Chris, what mobile suit designs are you excited about seeing in HD when they of course come out with this soon in America?
Oh, I'm excited about the Zaku and the Dome and the Gelgog and the Hyaku Shiki. You know, I'm excited for all of these to be brought over in HD when they eventually redo it the Bellanoke Salmon, the Zaccarello, the Dugaugu Gaga.
Those are your favorite designs?
I don't know the names. I just know the pretty pictures on the screen. All right, that's all I know. All right, so yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited for those when they happen, especially the GPO-2. When the GPO-2 comes in, because that thing that was, you know, what was that piloted by Amuro? Did he get that there for a while? When those happen, that'll be amazing.
Okay. Well, sounds good. Now, Chris, did you have an announcement to make about what's coming back to to the Megatalk forums?
Yes. A lot of the fans have been talking about how much they loved the Coliseum back in the old days, and we did a complete redesign of the website to make it look like every other forum on the internet because, you know, that's a cool thing to do. So with the new reboot of the forum, I'm deciding to officially announce we're going to bring back the Coliseum back into the forums. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Because I want to see what you, the fans, because I'm all about the fans, I want to see what you guys think would win in the battle of between all mobile suits, all robots. I mean, we're not even going to limit this to Gundam anymore. We're going to expand this to Star Wars. We're going to expand this to Star Trek. We're going to bring in everything, Robotech, Battletech, Macross, everything into the Coliseum again. Mm. So within the next 2 or 3 weeks, you'll see the official posting for the thread, and I want everyone to jump in there and pick a suit and just go to town. I want to see it. And I definitely am going to be excited to see who gets the turn A, because we all know the turn A wins. So,
I can't wait to delete that forum post.
But you can't. You can't. I like the Coliseum. You can't delete it after I make... Stop going in and doing that. Every time I make something cool, like I made a My Little Pony appreciation thread, Solboro goes in and deletes it. I talked about how James T. Kirk is the worst Star Trek captain. He goes in and deletes it. You always are destroying everything that I want to build. Thank you, Solboro. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Solboro, you seem to hate a lot of things. What do you really enjoy? I mean, like music. What kind of music do you really enjoy? Like,
he enjoys hearing me cry. He enjoys.
Was that so, bro?
Well, the him crying. That's my secondary interest.
Okay.
My primary interest is that. That country music, especially the one done by that one guy from Hootie and the Blowfish, the one that broke off and started his own. I can't remember the guy's name. I just know this music sounds good.
Darius Rucman, right, Chris?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah, very relaxing.
You don't even know the name of your favorite artist, and you're getting on to me about how my arguments have no weight.
Yeah, dang right I am.
This is how it usually is.
Okay. Darius Rucker, daggone it.
All right. Well, Neo, I mean, is there anything else in 2012 you want to share that kind of highlighted or anything other exciting coming up in Gundam and Nation for 2013 or anything like that?
Well, Macross 30, the video game, is going to be released, and I've asked for a special leave of absence from Gundam so I can play that game, because that's probably going to be pretty much my entire life until about June, probably.
Okay. I hear you can choose your songstress, too, so you'll be able to pick Ronka as well.
Yeah, just despite Soul Bro.
Well, Neo, Neo, now that I got you here, I need you to call your, who's your best friend, Jabman? I need you to call Jabman and make sure that he can take your place whenever you leave for your 30-month sabbatical there with Macross 30, all right? Because I know how close you two are. You need to let him know that he needs to come in and record with us, all right?
Yeah, I know. Just so long as Soulbro doesn't start getting into arguments with him again. Remember what happened last time?
Now, listen, we sat down and we talked, and Soulbro is not allowed to make Jabman cry anymore, okay? I can take it, but not Jabman. We know how emotionally sensitive he is. We know how much I can take it, but we know how much Jabman can't. So we've had this conversation already.
Yeah, I can't make him cry. I can make him whimper, and I can make him bleed, but I can't make him cry. So, okay, fine.
So stop talking about how he doesn't have his man card or he doesn't have any testes or anything like that. Stop. Don't bring those up, okay?
Okay.
A little bit behind the scenes here, but...
All right. Well, anything else there, Neo? Okay. Well, guys, I know it's getting kind of late. I know you guys are real busy. And, thank you so much, guys, for coming out and taking time on your busy schedules.
No problem.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Man. And all right, guys. Well, I guess we're gonna close this interview out. I really appreciate it, and I think we talked about saying something all in unison at the end here.
Mosaic, kakera, hitotsu, hitotsu, tsunagi, awasete, egaite yuku, anata ga kureta, deyai to wa kanai. はずじゃない。そう思ってないのに。目覚めればいつもの変わらない。から回り意味もなく繰り返し。モザイクかけら鮮やかに映すか。この嘘も過ちも消してしまいたいと。